All right, we'll go ahead and get started. Welcome to Pure Words Baptist Church. Let's go ahead and pull out our hymnals, and we'll get started with our first song for the evening. It'll be song number 215. Song 215, Heaven Came Down and Glory Filled My Soul. Song 215, Heaven Came Down and Glory Filled My Soul. I need you guys to sing nice and loud with me on this one. All right. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. First, oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After I wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. Shadows dispelling with joy, I'm telling, He made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down. Justified fully through Calvary's love, oh, what a standing is mine. And the transaction so quickly was made, when as a sinner I came. Took of the offer of grace, He did proper, He saved me, oh, praise His dear name. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Now I've a hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions above. And it is because of that wonderful day when at the cross I believed. Riches eternal and blessings supernal from His precious hand I received. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
Amen. Brother Joel, you want to pray for us this evening?
Amen. All right, go ahead and flip in your hymnals to song 441. The song number 441, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Song 441, Great is Thy Faithfulness. 441.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is
compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings, O mine, with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Amen. Great singing this evening. At this time, we'll go ahead and go over the announcements. Go ahead and pull out your bulletins from the morning. On the top left of the bulletin, we do have our service times listed. We meet Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m., Sunday evening at 5:30 p.m., and that midweek Bible study is on Thursday at 7 p.m. We have our church-wide soul-winning times with the respective leaders and our salvations and praise report underneath there. I think I did take a count. We had a total of 6 this afternoon. Amen. So good job soul winning. Did I miss anybody? Does anybody have anything else to add? Okay. We'll add 6 to that. So good job soul winning. We also have an expecting lady in the church, Sister Corinne Darnell. So keep her and the developing one in your prayers. We have a list of guest preachers here. February 20th, today, we have Brother Chris Segura preaching for us. Always a blessing having him and his family. Thursday, March 3rd, we'll have Brother Dylan Oz, and then he's coming right back March 6th, so we'll have him twice in a row, and then we'll have Brother Chris Segura back with us March 10th, and then on March 20th, we'll have Brother Ben Naim preaching for us. So we've got a great lineup. Again, thank all of these guys for coming to preach for us. It's a blessing having them. And then just some upcoming events. We have a lot of things to look forward to, a lot of soul-winning opportunities. February 6th, which is next Saturday, there's a soul-winning marathon in Waco, Texas. And then March 24th, 25th, and 26th is the soul-winning seminar at Steadfast Baptist Church up in Hearst, Texas. We have a small-town soul-winning marathon in College Station. That's April 2nd. And then May 21st, we have a soul-winning marathon in Austin, Texas. That's being put on by Steadfast Baptist Church as well. So a lot of soul-winning opportunities, a lot of things to get involved in. We're still trying to reach that 1,000-mark goal for salvations this year, which, you know, I think we could do it. Very doable. But that is basically the announcements for the evening. Lastly, if you have any prayer requests, definitely always email those into the church at purewordsbaptist@gmail.com, and we can be in prayer for anyone that needs it. But with that, let's go ahead and go to our third song. And pull your hymnals out, and we'll go to song number 127. Song 127. Might have the piano. Piano helps out, amen. Hey, it helps me out. I know that. Sounds good. Song 127. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. We'll go ahead and start there on the first.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know the saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me 'neath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy.
If you go ahead and pull out your Bibles and turn in your Bibles to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. We'll have Brother Jeff come read for us. And we'll go ahead and pass the offering plate.
All right, so you all are there in John chapter 9. In John 9, the Bible reads in verse 1, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh, when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which were before, had seen that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that was aforetime blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him, that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that received his sight. And they asked him, saying, Is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not, or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews. The Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, He is of age. Ask him. Then again they called they the man that was blind and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes? Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God, and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and he is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see might not see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto him, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now you say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth. Let's all bow our heads for a quick word of prayer. Your Heavenly Father, I pray that you would fill Chris and grow up your spirit and help him to preach an accurate sermon based on your word, God, based on the Holy Bible. And just help us to have ears to hear, God, to pay attention, to minimize distractions. And I thank you for this church. Thank you for the congregation. And just help us to go home safely after evening service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. And yes, I was late. Amen. Somebody did point it out. But I haven't been late in who knows how long, because obviously I work for the church, so I'm usually there early to set up, whatever, so I don't remember what was the last time, but 5 o'clock rolls around, all right, girls, let's get ready to go, call the Uber, everything's going well, go outside, waiting for the Uber guy, 5 minutes, 4 minutes, 3 minutes, 2 minutes, 1 minute, and I just kind of try to make it easy on the guy. Hey, I'm at the home booth suite, you know, just out here in the entrance. He even sends a message, I see you. He drives, sees me, and drives past me. I'm like, what was that? I'm like, hey, that's our ride. I'm like, hey, I'm at the front. And he kind of like just whatever. I'm like, okay, well, he'll be here soon. Put my phone in my pocket, figured don't need it anymore. Then I'm looking around like, where the heck is he? Turn it on. He cancels the ride. I'm like, what in the world? So quickly I get on there and get it again. Because he's the one in the area, they give it back to him. So I'm like, I don't care, bro. It's like, hey, I thought I hit cancel accidentally. I'm like, did I hit cancel accidentally? And so I just put it back in my phone, didn't think anything of it. I'm like, well, he's right around the corner somewhere. I'm like, kids, let's go up to the street so he doesn't have to, like, pass us so we can kind of wave him down. So we go to the street. And then sure enough, I'm like, he should be around here. I'm like, no way. Took it out, looked down, he canceled me again. Oh, wow. This time it's saying that I didn't have a mask. All three of us have masks on. So now I can't even get in there until I take a picture on the Uber app and prove I have a mask. So here I am snapping away, and I'm like, okay, boom, I got a mask. Then it lets me finally get in and get another one. So at this point, I'm just like, hey, I don't care. I just got the one up because I figured I'm getting the cheapest one. All right, one up. So get the one up, the Excel ride, which is only a couple bucks more or whatever. And then that guy, sure enough, is 6 minutes away. But he shows up, finds me, no big deal. He even finds me, goes into the parking lot and whatever. I don't know what's going on. And I'm not trying to judge, but this name was Muhammad. So I don't know if the devil just possessed this dude. I mean, he could be Christian. I don't know. And I don't even think it's that. I'm just giving the guy the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he just realized I'm too tired. If I get this guy and his kids in my vehicle, I don't want to be responsible for killing three. So who knows? Because I've been there. I've done that. I got the T-shirt that I'm driving sometimes that I'm so tired. I got people like, Brother Segura, you okay? Yeah, why? Because you're driving 50 on the 75. Oh, my bad. Hey, it's happening, all right? But that's why I'm late, not trying to make any excuses. I tell my kids, hey, a loss is a loss no matter what the cause. We're late, we can't blame people. Should have got the Uber at 4:45, you know, to be there at 5 o'clock, amen? So no one to blame but myself. But let's take a look right there at the Bible, John 9:27. It says, and he answered them, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore, will you hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? And the title of my sermon is this, Annoying Others. Annoying others. I don't know if there's ever been a sermon preached on annoying. Oh, see, we need it. Look at this. They're like, Brother Gary, that's you. No, that's you, sis. But listen, if there's a chapter that I like pulling out to show my kids don't be an annoying individual, it's John 9. Because this is the story where Jesus heals a blind guy and he's going around and people are like, hey, what's the deal? How come you can see now? But let's take a look at the Bible. Let's kind of see really quickly. While you're turning right there, look at verse number 6. I'm just going to give you the definition of annoy from dictionary.com. It says this, to disturb or bother in a way that displeases, troubles, or slightly irritates. I guess other words we can use is pester, pick on, bug. I was at a church member's house one time, not at Faithful Word, so don't be looking at Faithful Word, people. This is back in California. We were having a meeting. It was a meeting from an addictions program that I volunteered, and the guy that was running it, he was having a meeting at his house and at his house. But the guy had like 12 kids. You know, one of them was like 7 years old, but they didn't discipline them the way they should have. Let me put it that way. Because I'm an adult, I'm there, I'm their guest, and this kid keeps picking on me. Like he keeps poking me, hiding. And so I'm thinking, I ain't going to say anything. You know, I'm just kind of dealing with it. And so literally, I'm just kind of there listening in. All of a sudden, I feel somebody poke and run. Finally, the dad got upset because he was embarrassed. And he's like, Thomas, you know, stop, you know, messing with Brother Girl. Stop being a pest. And the kid responds back, you're a pest, Dad. And I'm like, woo. And I never looked up that word pest. But when I saw that one of the words used to describe annoying, it says pester. It wasn't hard to figure out. Pest, pester, stop being a pest. So I decided to look at the word pest. It's an annoying person. Big shocker, amen? But let's take a look at verse 6. Look at this story. It's just an awesome story of how people are being annoying and they don't even see it. It's like they're clueless to how annoying they're being to the point where the other person ends up being annoying themselves. Let's take a look really quick. It says, when he had thus spoken, this is the guy who was blind, now he can see. It says, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And, oh, I'm sorry, this is Jesus Christ basically healing the man. And Jesus anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing the neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, it's not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he, now he himself, you know, he's testifying. He's telling these people what happened. But he said, I am he. I'm the one that was blind. And now I can see. It says, therefore say they unto him, how were thine eyes open? They're asking him, how you can see now? And he tells them. He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. Then it says they brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind, and it was the seventh day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And I'm pretty sure by this time, they're not like the second group of people. I'm sure the first group is like, hey, is it you? He says, I am he. And I'm sure the people kept asking him, what happened? What happened? Who knows how many people asked him? But I highly doubt that the Pharisees are like the second group of people asking him. Like, what happened? You know? And he tells them. He says in verse number 15, he said unto them, he put clay upon my eyes, and I washed, and do you see? Therefore says some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again. So now they're asking him again, what sayest thou of him? That he has opened thine eyes. He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And isn't that annoying when somebody asks you something and you tell them and they just keep doubting? Are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? Let me just put it this way. Don't be Mr. Sure. Are you sure about that, man? Are you all positive? All right. Okay. All right. You know? Unless you know for sure the guy you're talking to has a history of being wrong, then okay. You know, then you could be Mr. Sure. Verse 19, and they asked him, saying, is this your son whom he say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, that he was born blind, but why means he now seeth? We know not. Or who has opened his eyes? We know not. You know, he is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, wherefore he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, what did he to thee? Now they're asking him again. This is called being annoying. So he's annoying the daylights out of him. And let me make it very clear. Hey, if you're being annoying, it's contagious. You can cause people to be annoyed. Therefore, they're going to become annoying themselves, and we'll see that in a second. So there's a guy trying to give God the glory, trying to say, hey, I don't know who this guy is, but hey, I used to be blind, now I'm not. I'm not sure if he's a sinner, I highly doubt that, but hey, you know what? He opened up my eyes, now I can't see. You know, so let's take a look at verse number 17, or verse 27. He got so fed up, he says this, he answered them, I have told you already. So now he's annoyed, you know? And then because he's annoyed, then he becomes annoyed. Look what he does. And ye did not hear. Wherefore, will ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? He knows that was going to rub them the wrong way. But let me put it this way. What was the definition of annoying someone? It's basically to disturb, bother in a way that displeases, troubles, or slightly irritates. He knew that they were out to get Jesus. He knew that he liked Jesus. He knew they had something against Jesus. So he wanted to just rub it in since they kept annoying him by kept asking him, what happened? How can you now see? He's like, are you going to be his disciples now? Because he knew that wasn't what they wanted to do. And as soon as he says that, they get annoyed. And what do? They get all upset. Verse 28, then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple. Like, that's a bad thing. Because they're not thinking. You know? They're so annoying, they can't even realize how annoying they are. And we've done that before. Okay, I got a point of there because they were fighting with each other. They're like, hey, you're annoying me. No, you're annoying me. Hey, I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt. I fought with my brothers. I picked on them. I said things that I knew was going to cause my brother to get upset. And I think the worst thing I ever did to him, I was picking on him so bad because something had happened. I'm not sure. But we were so mad at him. We were picking on my older brother, Jose. And I ended up just getting so mad. Then one of the last things I said was, way to go, genius. And instead of him, like cussing at me or whatever, he basically like yells at me, you know what? You're the genius. And I say, yeah, that's right. I am the genius. You're the idiot that caused us to get grounded. But he wasn't thinking like these Pharisees, so it reminds me of my brother Jose. Because he's like, you're going to be a disciple? You're the disciples. Like, that's a big diss. And he doesn't stop being annoying because this guy, he's having some fun with the Pharisees. He's loving it. Look what happens. Verse number 30, the blind man. Then the man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from when he is, and yet he has opened my eyes. Man, he did that just to make them mad. And then he says this, now we know the guy heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, he heareth him. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Then they got so mad, they answered and said unto him, thou art altogether born in sins. Now they're taking pop shots at him. But they were the root reason behind all this annoyance that's happening. Because that's what they're doing. They keep second guessing. Are you sure? Whatever. And their motives are wrong. And this guy can see it. And see, that's the thing about, you know, annoying people. And we'll get into that. When you look at scriptures, it's not always wrong. It's not always wrong. But most of the time, it is wrong. And if you got your Bibles, go to 1 Samuel. Go to 1 Samuel. And they're all mad. And they're like, hey, thou was born in sin. So thou teach us. Now you want to teach us. Then they cast them out, you know. Even though they were the problem. They were the ones that were causing this guy to get upset. They were annoying him. So he therefore started to annoy them. And in this situation, if I have to say, was the guy in the right or the wrong? I have to say that he was in the right. Because these are Pharisees. These are wicked people. He's trying to help them by telling them, no, Jesus is legit. I don't know who this guy is, but he's a good guy in my book. He healed me. I don't know anything about him, but he healed me. I was blind. Now I can see. I don't think the guy's bad. I don't think God listens to wicked people. He's like, I think God hears those that are righteous and answers their prayer. I think this is what we have in this situation. And they're like, oh, you're teaching us? Get out of here. Because of their pride, because of their wickedness. No, but let me read a verse right now. Exodus 22:21 says this. Thou shalt neither vex a stranger nor oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Now, if you Google, search it, whatever, use a software to look up the word annoy, it's not going to be found in the King James Bible. You're not going to find it. But it's funny that you'll find Exodus 22:21 that says, thou shalt neither vex a stranger nor oppress him. But when you look up the word vex, which is in the Bible, here's the definition of vex, dictionary.com, to irritate, annoy. Irritate, annoy. So what is God saying? Hey, don't irritate, don't annoy a stranger. A stranger is a foreigner, somebody that's not from that land. He's like, hey, don't annoy these people. How can you annoy them? By picking on them. Hey, we did that in high school. I'm ashamed to admit it, but it's crazy. My parents were immigrants. I'm Mexican-American. Chicano is what they call us. My parents are from Mexico. They crossed illegally, got amnesty because of Reagan. Now they're citizens. Well, my dad passed away, but my mom's a citizen. But anybody that crossed the border in high school, the Chicanos, the Mexican-Americans, we picked on them so bad. We called them chopes. Who's ever heard that before? Chopes. You heard it before? Chopes is short for chopras. What's a chopra? A chopra is a type of fish in Mexico. So we call them chopes, which is short for chopras, which is a way of saying this guy's a chopra, meaning that he crossed the river illegally. So it's always the Mexican-Americans versus the chopras. We despise them. We look down upon them. Because guess what? They're here illegally. They can't get good jobs. So they don't have the fanciest stuff. Not that I had it either. But look at me, Mr. Hypocrite, here making fun of these chopas. When my parents were chopras as well. They were chopes. But anytime we wanted to make fun of these strangers, we just vexed them by calling them chopes because they hated it. Hey, chopes, chopras. If it was in English, we just call them chopes. If they didn't speak good English, we call them chopras. They knew what we were talking about. We're basically calling them wetbacks. Wetbacks. Talk about oppressing a stranger. We didn't make them feel welcome. We despised them. Kind of like that because we fell for the media. They're coming over illegally. They're messing up the country. They're criminals. They shouldn't be here. This should only be for America. Americans first. Americans only. Hey, I fell for that. And my parents were illegals. They were strangers. How stupid of a teenager was I? But here God is saying, hey, it's a sin for you to vex a stranger. It's a sin for you to annoy a stranger. So don't do it. And guess what? Don't annoy each other either. But I told you to go to where? 1 Samuel, correct? Like I said, first thing I want to say about annoying people is can be sinful. It can be sinful. Let's take a look. Here in 1 Samuel, chapter number 1, it says this. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives, which he shouldn't have done, but that's another sermon for another day. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship at the sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord has shut up her womb. Verse number 6, and her adversary, who's Hannah's adversary? Peninnah. It says her adversary provoked her sore for to make her fret because the Lord has shut up her womb. Like I said, you look up the word annoy, it's not in the King James Bible. But you are going to find the word vex, which means to annoy. But another word that you're going to find in the Bible is the word provoke. And what does the word provoke mean? I'll give you the dictionary definition. Dictionary.com says this. To provoke means to feel or express worry, annoyance. I'm sorry, I'm ahead of myself. Let me just give you the definition of provoke. It just means to annoy. It's one of the definitions. But the word fret, I wrote that one down. The other one, I was just going to give it to you, so I'm a little bit ahead of myself. But the word provoke, if you look it up, it just means to anger, to upset, to annoy. And that is part of the definition. That is part of the dictionary.com. I didn't write it down, but the other one that caught my attention was the word fret. And this is what the word fret means. It means to feel, express worry, annoyance. Why would you express annoyance? Because you're annoyed. And that can come from people. It can come from situations. But God forbid it should come from us annoying people for no other reason than to cause them to fret. See, what you saw with the blind guy is he was annoying the Pharisees because they were annoying him, but he was annoying them for a purpose to get them to see how stupid they're acting, just how wicked they're being. You know, but here, Peninnah is provoking, or she's causing Hannah to fret. He's annoying her for one reason, because she's her adversary. She doesn't care about her. She wants to hurt her. She wants to make her feel bad. She wants to make her cry. And the fact that she doesn't have children was one of the things that caused Hannah to be upset. And Peninnah knew that and provoked her to the point of her fretting and being upset and annoyed. But that's what happens when wicked people, you know, kind of want to hurt you. They do it by annoying you in a way, whatever way that may be. By making a little bit of noise, clicking their pen, whatever. If it annoys you, they'll do it because their intent is to basically hurt you, get you to get upset. But that wasn't the issue with the blind guy. He didn't start out, I'm going to make these Pharisees' life a living nightmare. I'm going to embarrass them in front of everyone. That wasn't the situation. He was just trying to show, hey, Jesus is a good guy. I don't know who he is, but he healed me. Now I can see. I don't know. Maybe we should consider the fact that, hey, this could be a prophet of God. What do you guys think? Just shut up. Just tell us what happened. I already told you like three times, maybe more. So is it a big shocker that he gets annoyed and he shoots back? And he says, oh, you guys just want to know? Let me see. Are you guys trying to be a disciple? No, we're not trying to be a disciple. He said, well, that was a marvelous thing. They don't even know who he is. And they get all upset. Oh, you're teaching us now? Get out of here. But he didn't do it to cause them to get upset for no reason. He was just trying to show them, hey, you guys are being idiots right now. This guy did a miracle. And why are you guys acting all crazy like he's some bad person? He's like, hey, he did it on the Sabbath. You know, we should go after him. But that's the thing, though. He wasn't annoying them because he just wanted to be Mr. Annoying. He did it because these people kind of deserved it. Because, hey, that's kind of what you see in Scripture. You know, so if you go to 1 Kings, go to 1 Kings if you can. Go to 1 Kings 18. And obviously, when it comes to children, they're the ones that are the most guilty. It's envy that usually causes one sibling to annoy the other. Call them a name, say things, sing sometimes a song that they know the other person doesn't like. How do I know? Because it happens in my house. He was like, stop singing that song, you know. And they sing it, trying to, oh, but I'm just being spiritual, you know. I'm just singing this song. No, that's not my favorite song. It just happens. Children are children. My kids, don't be looked at as a child that's an annoying child. Don't be like that guy from California who did not discipline his kid. And tell your kids not to be annoying, to be respectful, not to call people, especially adults, you know, just by their first name. And I've seen it. And unfortunately, I've seen it even at Faithful Word, where there's kids. There's kids that they mouth off to adults. And I'm sending back like, wow. You know what I'm saying? If this was my kid, you know, he would definitely get it. And I make him apologize for saying certain things to adults. But the adult, because he's too nice, he's just kind of letting it go. But you could tell this teenager was trying to annoy this adult by picking on them, saying certain things, bringing up stuff that he had done in the past, not sinful stuff, but just dumb mistakes, little things here and there. And the whole goal was just provoke this guy to have an emotional reaction. And I'm thinking, that is messed up. And I'm just kind of sitting back like, man, I'm embarrassed for your parents. You talk to adults like that? He's like, you're not even 17. And you're talking to this man who's almost 30, like he's your closest buddy, and you're saying things that, you know, only friends that are really close to each other say to each other. Because let's just face it, when you're close to each other, you can pick on each other all day long because you guys are not, you know, snowflakes. You're not going to get offended and punch each other in the face. It's just something that you do because it's kind of brotherly love, I guess you could say. You know, but the first thing that I brought up is like, yeah, it could be sinful. You know, if your motive is to cause somebody to get upset, for another reason and to see them suffer, hey, that's wicked. But let's take a look at this example. One of my favorite examples of somebody who's being very annoying, but yet it's in the Bible to show us the right attitude to have when it comes to certain people, i.e. false prophets. Let's take a look. Did I tell you to go to 1 Kings? If I didn't go to 1 Kings 18, I'm sorry, I should have told you to go there. I'll go to 1 Kings 18. And guess where you go there? I'll read from Luke 13, 32. It says this. You know, and he said unto them, go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today, and tomorrow, and the third day, I shall be perfected. Who is the man that's famously known for saying, go ye and tell that fox? Who is that? Jesus Christ. Talking about Herod. He's saying this because he wants to get a reaction out of Herod. And of course, Jesus Christ, he didn't fear no man. He's a very bold individual. Hey, he preached that you shouldn't fear them that kill the body. Guess what? He practiced what he preached. He didn't fear Herod. That's why people are like, hey, he's out to kill you. And what did he say? Go tell that fox. To me, it doesn't seem that disrespectful, a fox. I mean, maybe if he were to say, go tell that. What's an animal that if somebody would say you're like this animal, it would be kind of a snake. Go tell that snake. Yeah, snake's a good one. Go tell that snake, you know what I'm saying, that I'm doing miracles. If he has a problem, take it up with God or whatever. Yeah, I would not like to be called a snake. What is it, the snake in the grass? Oh, man, if you want to disrespect someone, yeah, you say that to him. Look at a little snake in the grass. You don't know me. Oh, I know you're a snake in the grass. You don't know nothing about me, bro. You want some of this? You know? Isn't that how it goes? You want to get somebody to get upset, almost like provoke them to fight you, and then tell the cops he started it, you know? It's like, you want to annoy them? Call somebody a snake in the grass. That's a good one. Thanks for the example, brother. I'm glad you're here tonight. Amen. But the other one where I was saying, hey, it's not always sinful. We're right there in Kings, right? 1 Kings. Let's take a look at this man. And we'll start in verse number, what do we got? 25. 1 Kings 18, 25. This is one of my favorite stories of somebody being super annoying, but yet it's in the Bible for a reason. And it's not what people think. I just see it as like, yep, he's annoying them. And I guess God just says, hey, this is what I let you do, but it has to be with these certain people. So what do we got here? This is a story of Elijah and the false prophets of Baal. So let's take a look. It says, and Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourself and dress it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, oh, Baal, hear us. And these are the false prophets begging unto Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry out loud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey. And I like this one. A peradventure he sleepeth. He's like, hey, why don't you wake up your god? So can you imagine how he's doing it? I don't think he's doing it with a nice voice. He's probably doing it worse than me. Hey, false prophet, why don't you wake up your God? Where's he at? What is he up to? Is he sleeping? Let's wake him up a little bit, huh? He's being super. Now, you imagine the prophets of Baal, shut up! Thinking Elijah, he's like, bro, let's just keep cutting ourselves. Because they started cutting themselves when their Baal God wouldn't answer them. Like, can you imagine you're the false prophets and Elijah's just over there ripping on you? Are you guys almost done over there? Is your God going to answer you anytime soon? Maybe he's sleeping. Why don't y'all do something to get his attention? Or maybe he's on a journey. And guess what? He's not going to be able to help you today. Not a good day to be a false prophet. But wouldn't that annoy a false prophet? That would annoy any false prophet. And guess what? I don't think it's in here making Elijah look like he's a sinful person. So what I'm saying, kids, is if it's not a false prophet of Baal, hey, don't annoy people. Amen? Help people, provoke them to good works. Don't provoke them to fret like Peninnah, trying to get Hannah to get all upset because she doesn't have any children. You know, so that's the key thing. Why are you saying the things that you're saying when you know this person is going to clearly get upset? Well, is it because you want to hurt this person? Or is it because this person is a false prophet? Or because Christ is being attacked? There's another example, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When King Nebuchadnezzar is like, hey, is it true that you guys are not bowing down? You know, they weren't trying to be annoying, but it did annoy King Nebuchadnezzar. But he got so messed up, so angered. And they're like, listen. And they didn't have to answer it, but it's kind of interesting the way they answered. We're not going to be careful to answer you. It wasn't, well, let us explain. It wasn't like, Nebuchadnezzar, let us explain. All right, we got together. And you know what? Politely, as gently, with all due respect, We just want to let you know that we can't do that. You know, we can't bow down to your image, sir. They didn't do that. He said, oh, never again. We're not careful to answer you. We're not going to bow down. And our God is able to deliver us. But if not, we'd rather burn and bow. That's what happened. He got super annoyed. What? Had the fires turned up so hot that they just got close to it and his men got burned up. That's how crazy this guy got. But they did that to make it very clear. We don't care if this annoys you, upsets you, you know, provokes you or whatever. We're doing it because it's the right thing to do. We're going to stand up for God. And if that offends you and annoys you, so be it. Same thing, like I said this morning. The old lady, me knocking doors. Okay, I'm maybe not over the old lady yet, but it's, I'm getting there. But yeah, she got annoyed by what I said, right? She got annoyed. Everything I was saying was annoying. But was I trying to do it to make her mad for the sake of making her mad? No, I was trying to show her the truth because the truth makes her free. But she didn't want to hear it. So guess what? She was like, you never can answer. If I had a fire right now, I'll throw you in there. You know, but she just told me to leave, and that's, I guess, better than getting burned. Amen? But the first thing that I wanted to say is, yeah, it can be wrong to annoy someone. Second thing I wanted to say is, it's not always wrong to annoy someone. You saw the guy that was blind, and then he was healed. What did he do? He annoyed the Pharisees. Then you see Elijah. What is he doing? He's annoying the false prophet. What do they have in common? Pharisees, false prophets, same thing. Wicked, unsafe individuals trying to kill the Lord Jesus Christ, for crying out loud. So if you're going to annoy someone, provoke someone, attack someone, hey, attack false prophets, amen? Everybody else, unless it's a brother who's doing something that's a sin unto death, then maybe you have to do a little bit more than just pray. But until then, hey, we can kind of let go of 99% of the things that happen in church, that happen to us, because guess what? None of us are perfect, and I'll get to that in a second. But the last point I'll make, I'm 28 minutes into the sermon, is that, you know, when it comes to annoying others, it's not always obvious. If you can't go to Mark 14, it's not always obvious that you're doing it. It's just not. And if you go to Mark 14, please go to Mark 14. We're going to see a story of some people that were very annoying. And I don't think they were wicked people. I don't think they were meaning to, you know, annoy someone. But they did. They did end up doing it. And I want to look at it together. If you can, go to Mark 14. Meet me in verse number 3. Mark 14, verse number 3. The Bible says in Mark 14, 3, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, a spikenard, very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, now that is a key thing, indignation, meaning that they're mad on the inside for whatever reason, envy, you name it. Says they had indignation within themselves. They were upset. They were quote-unquote annoyed, if you want to say that. And this is what they say. Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured. See, they're upset. They murmured against this woman. But look what Jesus says. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? So here she is trying to do a good thing. Breaks an alabaster box of ointment. Why? Jesus tells us why. It says that she brought this work, you know, because of his burial. It says she had done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burial. So he's telling us she ain't doing this because she's trying to show off. She's doing it because she's doing something good unto me because she knows I'm about to die. And sure enough, these guys, like Jesus said, they're troubling her. They're causing her to be upset. They're annoying her. Just think about that. She's there. She's crying. She's upset. She breaks a box. She's trying to do something good for the Lord. And then you got, you know, people in the room, you know, just upset over what she's doing. You know, saying things, what are you doing? You know, you could have sold this. You know, here she is trying to do a good thing, and she's getting attacked. And these guys don't know it, but they're being annoying because they're provoking her to fret, to get upset, making her double guess herself. But guess what? Jesus said, hey, no, she's doing this thing. And because of this, she's going to be remembered forever for this act. Because she's doing it for me. She's not doing it to glorify herself. Look how much money I got. I could just break it, you know? Like guys that have money and they're on Instagram. Look at all this cash. You know, one guy, he was a boxer. I don't know if he's still boxing. I think he is. I forgot his name. But he was flushing down 20s down the toilet. He did a video flushing 20s. Because all this guy carries, what is his name? Adrian Broner. Ever heard of that guy? Adrian Broner. Floyd Mayweather? Anybody? Okay, Floyd Mayweather. He was the one to beat Floyd Mayweather. He knew Floyd Mayweather. Floyd Mayweather was about to retire. He tried to follow in Floyd Mayweather's steps by showing off money and gaining attention and whatever for all the wrong reasons. But this guy, at the height of his popularity, was getting paid very well, like $1 million a fight. And so sure enough, he does videos where he's like, what is this? What is this in my pot? What is this? Oh, no. Oh, no. You know, taking out a 20, throwing it in the toilet, literally throwing 20s in the toilet. He's like, not worthy of my wallet. Nope. This is all I carry. Benjamins. And he's flushing, who knows, maybe 80 bucks, 60 bucks. I don't know what it was. But he's throwing 20s in the toilet, showing off. This isn't what this woman's doing. Look how rich I am. Clack, ching. Y'all smell that? I got plenty of that. What's up? You know? My Gucci. She didn't do that. She didn't do any of that. She was trying to glorify the Lord. But instead, they're attacking her. And I don't think the apostles were meaning to be mean, you know? But they didn't check themselves, you know? They just kind of saw that and got holier than thou. And all of a sudden, it's like, what are you doing? And she's like, what? You know, think about it. She's crying. She's like, oh, Lord, you know, you forgive me for so much. This is the least I can do. And they're like, what are you doing? Just anointing this woman for no reason. You know, they murmured against her. They troubled her is what the Bible says. And not just this story, but Job. Look what Job says in Job 16:1-3. His friends are trying to comfort him, but what they're really doing is annoying him. Come on, Job, what are you into? Job, the curse counselor doesn't just come. God doesn't just curse you for no reason, Job. Come on, Job, maybe your sons were into something. Hey, Job, you just got to fess up. Job, you're hanging out with wicked people. Job, this only happens to crazy, wicked individuals. What are you into, Job? And this is what Job said. And Job answered and said, I've heard many such things. Miserable comforters are ye all. So vain words have an end. They're annoying him with the stuff they're saying. So don't be annoying like Job's friends. But what was it? They're just envious. Like, ha-ha, Mr. Holier Than Thou. Now we got you. If you're so holy, why are these bad things happening to you? And they just wanted him to confess, maybe because that's just how wicked people are. When somebody's glorified that this is Job, he's a righteous man, he's a God-fearing man, he has a reputation, he's got his wife, he's got his family, he's got his business, he's successful, he's spiritual, and that bad things happen, people just can't wait to see something bad happen because it's too good to be true to some people. But guess what? Job was not too good to be true. He was the real deal. And guess what? These guys were probably offended by that because he was outshining them, and they just wanted him to admit that he's wrong and he's wicked so maybe they can feel better about it. But one sure thing that they were doing, they were annoying him. And he says, you're miserable comfort. You're trying to comfort me? You're annoying me. You know, but like I said, hey, sometimes these things happen without us even knowing. Here's a verse, Proverbs 25:17. Withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be wary of thee and so hate thee. Why would he hate you? Because you're probably annoying him. You're spending too much time coming over. You don't get the hint. And I've seen this. Where someone just wants to hang out with a certain individual and a certain individual trying to give him hints. Like, oh, maybe next time. I don't know about that. We'll see. And they keep trying to, like, get this person for some reason to just be part of their lives. And they just kind of, like, attach themselves. And even when I went sewing one time, I saw it, and I'm trying to separate somebody from somebody else because I tell, like, this couple was already kind of getting annoyed by this individual, and I tried to get him to come with me, but it was just one of those things that he just didn't want to and ends up just taking off. Well, I want to go hang out with them or whatever, and he was kind of clueless. He just didn't know. He didn't realize that he had been in his neighbor's house a little too long, and it was time to withdraw his foot so his neighbor wouldn't hate him. But I could tell as soon as he's like, yo, can I go with them? Because they're so nice, they're not going to say no on the spot. And I just said, hey, man, I'm sorry about that. You know, I could tell you guys just wanted to go alone. But he's like, oh, don't worry about it. You know, some people are just like that. But don't be the one. Amen. Be the guy who withdraws his foot from his neighbor's house because you don't want to wear out your welcome. You know, but, you know, what is this about? It basically causes you to just cause, you know, whoever to just get a little bit annoyed by you because you're just being here a little too long, coming over way too many times. You come over without even calling. And I don't know about you, but I don't like anybody showing up in my house, you know, when I don't know they're coming. It's not that I'm doing something wicked. It's that I just don't like people showing up. Hey, Pastor Gerald, can I borrow some tea? It's like, whoa, text me next time. Not that happens. But I'm just saying, be courteous. If you want to come over and need something, but some people do show up. You know, hey, can I borrow a stroller? Like, my kids were sleeping. Now you woke them all up. You know, so we got to be careful not to annoy each other. Amen? But it's going to happen, though. You know, if you got your Bibles, go ahead and meet me. Let me send you to Yeah, let's go to 2 Kings. We'll finish up with 2 Kings 2. Go to 2 Kings 2. Go ahead and meet me in verse 23. You know, but I'll quickly say that, hey, sometimes we annoy people, and it's not always obvious we're being annoying, so we have to kind of keep that in mind, be careful. If you notice when you say something, somebody reacts a little bit too quiet, you might want to realize that, hey, you probably said something that annoyed this person or offended this person. You know, but obviously it is what it is. Nobody's perfect. James 3:1 says this, my brethren, being of many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation for many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in a horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm. Whithersoever the governor listeth, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. And isn't that one of the things that kind of causes us to get annoyed when people are just boasting like crazy? Ah, oh, man, these 20s, what are they doing in my wallet? You know, just bands, that's all I hang out with, you know? It's like, my goodness, this guy. It's like, yes, yes, you're getting people to look at you, but they're all laughing at you, not with you, you know? But that's the thing, is our words that tend to offend people the most, more than our actions. You know, but what is James about? James is about, hey, just realize that you're going to offend, and you're going to get offended. So realize that. It's not because we want to, it's because sometimes, guess what? The tongue is an unruly thing. It's very difficult to control. So we may say something that causes somebody to get annoyed, and we need to realize, hey, you know what? I didn't mean it. Or, you know, just give people the benefit of the doubt. They didn't mean it like that. But obviously, if it happens once and twice, then stop being nice and go up to the person and say, hey, man, you keep calling me this. You keep saying this about me. You need to be careful. Watch out. You know, don't annoy me like that. It's getting a little bit out of control. And obviously, if somebody's humble, they'll accept it and realize, yeah, I need to watch what I say. And that's why I'm reading James, to just kind of let you know that, listen, no one's perfect. We're all going to annoy somebody at some point. So just be merciful when somebody annoys you, because there's a good chance you'll annoy somebody else as well. Amen? But out of all the people to be worried about, the most important person not to annoy is obviously God. Let's finish it up with 2 Kings 2:23. 2 Kings 2:23, it says this, and when he went up from thence unto Bethel, and as he was going up by the way, they came forth little children out of the city and mocked him and said unto him, go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood and tare 40 and two children of them. And he went from thence to Carmel, and from thence he returned to Samaria. So one of the things that you see are these kids mocking a man of God, saying, go up, thou bald head, mocking his bald head, picking on him, provoking him, causing him to get annoyed. But in reality, who were they really annoying? God, because this is a miracle that he curses them. And, I mean, it's a crazy story. All these kids were guilty of was just picking on people, but they were picking on a man of God, which is way worse. But even then, they ended up annoying God with their words and their actions, and they ended up losing their lives because of that. So let's realize that, yes, you know what? We're going to annoy each other, but at the end of the day, let's realize, hey, we need to be careful not to provoke God to anger either, you know, because he's the most important guy not to annoy, and it's very easy to do. Moses, hey, famous stories of him, where he didn't want to go to Egypt. And it says really quickly, you know, that the Lord, you know, was angry with him. It says, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron thy Levi thy brother? I know that he can speak well, and he also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. So what's going on here? He's telling Moses, go, go, and he's making excuses. And he knows they're lies, but he's just scared. Instead of saying, God, I'm scared, he's just lying. I can't speak well. You know what? There's other people you can get. Why don't you pick somebody else? He wasn't even being honest with God. He could have been like, hey, I'm scared. You know, I'm scared. I don't know. Can you send me some help? He didn't do that. He's trying to pretend like, oh, good, there's people that are better than me. It's not about being scared, Lord. Other people are better than me, can talk better than me, etc., etc. Even though the Bible says that he was mighty in words and deeds. So he kind of dimed himself out there. But the thing is that he annoyed the Lord to the point where he was angry with him. And we need to be careful to do the same. Amen? Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for all that you've done. Lord, we ask you to just bless us, Father. Help us to live for you. And thank you so much for these people that are here tonight. Lord, it's not easy to come to church at night. Father, so many things that can distract you. But I thank you so much for allowing these people to be here. And Lord, it's such a privilege to be able to come here and preach to them. And Father, I just ask you to bless them all. Give them special blessings for being here tonight. And we ask you to do all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
right. So the final song for the evening will be song 413. Song 413. stand up for Jesus. Song 413. We're going to do this one a cappella. I'm going to need you guys to sing nice and loud for the last song. Stand up for Jesus. Start there on the first.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead. Till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey. For to the mighty conflict, in this his glorious day. Ye that are men now serve him against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise with danger and strength to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, and watching unto prayer, where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there.
Amen. And with that, you are dismissed. You have a blessed evening.